This is the first of a series of lectures discussing double tax relief. The basic concept of double tax relief is that when a company operates overseas, it will pay overseas tax on its overseas income. Where a company is resident in the UK, that income will normally be taxed again in the UK. Double tax relief is designed to alleviate this double charge. Unilateral relief is the relief given by UK legislation. Bilateral relief is relief we have when a double tax treaty is in place. In this chapter, we will be looking at unilateral relief, that is to say, the relief given by UK legislation, without the need for a double tax treaty to be in place. The type of foreign tax suffered by a company will depend on how it carries on its business abroad. If it is operating through a branch or permanent establishment, it may suffer foreign corporation tax or its equivalent. If the company is receiving royalties or interest from abroad, then withholding tax may be suffered. If the company is operating through subsidiaries, then it may suffer withholding tax on dividends received. It follows that the dividends will normally have been paid from post-tax profits of the subsidiary. Non-resident companies who have a permanent establishment in the UK can claim credit relief for foreign taxes paid on income that is taxable on the permanent establishment. The non-resident company has to show that all steps have been taken to minimise foreign tax suffered. We will now go on and look at how we calculate the relief available under UK legislation. The relief available is calculated on a source-by-source basis. The basic rule is that the relief available is the lower of the UK corporation tax due on that source of income, the foreign tax suffered. We need to use a column-by-column approach. We will bring in each source of foreign income and gross up for all foreign taxes paid. We will now look at an illustration. A UK resident company, Lloyd Limited, has UK profits of £500,555. It has an overseas source of profits of £230,000, after foreign tax suffered of £50,000. Lloyd Limited received overseas source of income, source 2, of £27,000, having suffered withholding tax of £3,000. Lloyd Limited has one associated company. The computation for Lloyd Limited will be as follows. Total profits will be the UK profits of £500,555 plus those of overseas source 1 of £280,000. Note that we always show the profits gross of any foreign tax. So this is the £230,000 plus the £50,000 of tax that was suffered on those profits. Overseas source 2 of £30,000 is again shown gross of the withholding tax of £3,000. As you can see from the illustration, the various sources of income are put into individual columns. We have a column for UK profits, profits of overseas source 1, and finally a column for overseas source 2. The tax payable by Lloyd Limited is at 28%, giving a total tax bill of £226,955. When we come to look at the double tax relief available in respect of overseas source 1 and overseas source 2, we look at each one in turn and compare the UK tax on the source of income with the foreign tax suffered. Looking at overseas source 1, we see that the UK tax on income of £280,000 at 28% is £78,400. The foreign tax suffered by overseas source 1 was £50,000. Therefore, the double tax relief will be the lower of the two, in this case being £50,000. In the case of overseas source 2, we have overseas tax suffered of £3,000 and a UK tax bill of £8,400 on this source of income. Once again, the tax relief will be restricted to the overseas tax suffered on the source of income. This gives us total double tax relief for Lloyd Limited of £53,000. This is shown in the total column, leaving a corporation tax bill of £173,955. Note that when we are determining the profits of an overseas branch or permanent establishment, we use the rules set out in Section 20 of CTA 2009, which relate to the permanent establishment of a non-resident company in the UK. In other words, the arm's length principle is applied. Where overseas tax has been paid on trading profits, double tax relief is restricted to the UK tax on the overseas income that gave rise to the overseas tax. The overseas income must take account of all related expenses. This ensures that credit is only given against the UK tax due on the profits that relate to the overseas tax paid. If a company has losses, management expenses or charges on income, then this will impact on the calculations. Companies are allowed to allocate these items against the various sources of income in the most advantageous order. It is clearly best to allocate these against the UK income column first, then against overseas income with low rates of tax. Let's look at another illustration. Wade Limited, a UK resident company with 10 subsidiaries, has the following income. Profits from a UK property business of £10,000. Capital gains of £130,000. Management expenses of £160,000. Overseas income source 1 of £45,000. This is after withholding tax of £15,000. And overseas income source 2 of £45,000. Again, after withholding tax, this time of £5,000. The computation will be as follows. Again, we use the column by column approach, putting the various sources of income into separate columns. When it comes to the management expenses of £160,000, we first deduct from the UK income column, as this will have no impact on double tax relief. However, the maximum that can be deducted in this column is £140,000, thereby wiping out UK profit. The remaining £20,000 of expenses are set against overseas column 2, as this source of income has suffered a lower rate of overseas tax. This leaves total income of £90,000, being nil from the UK, £60,000 from overseas source 1, and £30,000 from overseas source 2. If we look at the UK tax payable, we see that total tax of £25,200 is due. This is made up of £16,800 in respect of overseas source 1 and £8,400 in respect of overseas source 2. The foreign tax actually suffered was £15,000 in respect of overseas source 1 and £5,000 in respect of overseas source 2. The double tax relief in both cases will be restricted to the overseas tax paid, giving total relief of £20,000. This leaves a corporation tax liability of £5,200. If, instead, we had allocated the £20,000 of management expenses to Overseas Source 1, then the income in Overseas Source 1 column would have dropped to £40,000, and the UK tax bill on this would have been £11,200. As a result, the double tax relief for Overseas Source 1 would have been restricted to £11,200, being less than the overseas tax suffered of £15,000. This would have given total double tax relief of £16,200. Clearly, not as good a result, as this would have left £9,000 within the charge to tax, thereby wasting overseas tax suffered of £3,800. Special rules apply for loan relationships. As we know, interest is dealt with under the loan relationship rules, whether it is from the UK or overseas. Tax is always calculated on the net debits or credits arising on all loan relationships. If the interest received includes overseas interest, Section 50 of TIOPA 2010 comes into force. This allows non-trading debits on loan relationships to be first set against UK source profits, thus following a similar rule to that shown in the previous illustration for expenses or charges. The impact of this is to maximise the foreign interest income, and thus maximise double tax relief. There are similar rules for IFAs, allowing maximum relief for tax paid on non-trading intangible credits. Relief is available for tax as suffered outside the UK on profits of an overseas permanent establishment. Where the profits are taxed as part trading profit and not as a trade wholly carried on abroad, unused relief may be carried forward. This carry forward is indefinite, subject to the permanent establishment ceasing to trade. Relief can only be taken against profits of the same permanent establishment. Unused relief can be carried back to accounting periods beginning in the previous 3 years. The carryback is to later years before earlier years. The time limit for a claim is 4 years from the end of the accounting period in which the surplus tax credit arose, or, if later, 1 year after the foreign tax was paid. Partial claims are allowed. A claim must state how much of the surplus is to be treated as carried forward and how much, if any, is to be treated as carried back. Relief is given first for overseas tax suffered in the accounting period, then for overseas tax credits carried forward, then for overseas tax credits carried back.